I haven't even started. I will make it brief, but I'll make it brief because I asked her, what can I tell everybody? Something that they don't know about you. Something juicy, you know? She didn't answer my email. So then when I saw her last night, I asked her the same thing, and she just laughed. Well, you know, you all know who I'm going to introduce, but I read up about her, and everything I read, everybody already knew. She's a director, of course, for those of you who don't know, of the Perkins Library. And she's been wonderful in that position. But you know, I'm really honored. I'm really privileged. And one thing I did read about her is that something she wrote that said, every member of the organization is important. And I believe her. Just the short time I've had with her, she's a wonderful lady. I'm honored, I'm privileged. I can't believe that they entrusted me to introduce her. And I'm just floating up here. She is also accompanied by a beautiful young lady. Her name is Miss Dolly. It's her guide dog. It's a German Shepherd. And it's so little and sweet. It's real cute. And you know me and dogs, all of you know me and dogs.
Stella Kitchen from Post Folder Line.
It's warming my feet. It brought back memories. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll stand for the first woman ever to be elected to be president of the American Council of the Blind. Yay. Here in Charleston.
Welcoming me so warmly, it's really an honor. And it's absolutely an honor to be standing here before you as the 11th president of the American Council of the Blind. There's been a lot of excitement about the first woman president of any blindness consumer organization in this country ever. So it's a big day. But it's way beyond time that women in our organization were recognized for their leadership, and I'm truly humbled to be the person that broke that barrier. It's really an honor. As you can imagine, I've received hundreds of emails from all over the country. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of opinions about what I should do with my time, and they all want to advise me and direct me on how to do different things. So most of the time, the recommendations are spot on. They're right on target. Every now and then, there might be one that's just a little bit more than I can manage. But the last one I got that was just a little more than I could possibly do was that I was, as president of ACB, should be able to send all the members of ACB who get sick get well cards. So I want to tell you, that I'm really sad people get sick. I don't think I know who you are, but you know, I hope you feel better soon. You're not going to get a get well card from me. So. That one I had to graciously say that I didn't need a secretary to do all those kinds of things that help me out. But, you know, sometimes people have ideas. But I also say that I want to hear from people because, you know, buried in some of the goofy ideas are really solid ideas. So I welcome hearing from folks about things. So right now, today, on the agenda, Philo put me in a really bad position, which is right before lunch. So if you're late to lunch, I guess it's my fault. But I want to share just some updates and some information of things that are happening with ACB, and I will do my very best to save some time to answer some questions. So, one thing I think you know, and this individual has visited your convention in the past, either the last year or two, and that's Eric Bridges. And Eric left ACB very briefly. I'm very glad to say it was briefly.
Yeah.
He was gonna leave in July and pursue some other things. And after I was elected, I started to look at that position, and I thought a lot of the work that Eric has done over the years goes way beyond the realm of governmental affairs, which was what his title was.
Yeah.
He works with corporations, with the Googles and the Microsofts and the Apples and the Verizons, all kinds of companies in the private sector. To make things more accessible. And we had a conversation and were able to restructure the position to a Director of External Relations and Policy. And by doing that, I went back to Eric and said, you know, you're the best person for this job. Is there any way you will come back? And he came back. So we have Eric Bridges in this new role, and he's doing tremendous work reaching out to a lot of key players that really have control over a lot of accessibility in our lives. Just last week, Monday and Tuesday of this past week, ACB's legislative seminar, President's Meet Weekend, took place in Washington, D.C. So I have some fairly hot off the press information for all of you with respect to what's going on at ACB. At the lunch on last Monday, I had the opportunity to sit and have a conversation one-on-one with the new commissioner of the Rehabilitation Services Administration, Janet LeBrecq. Janet happens to be the past commissioner of the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. So I've worked with her previously in her role in Massachusetts. And one thing she talked about that really hit home for me, and hearing Leah talk about it at Pompono, is that of internships and the work that can be done with clients in an internship position. But beyond what's being done now, what she talked about that really caught my interest, and I'm going to take that back to Massachusetts, it isn't being done. It's not being done in a lot of places, but I think it's being done here. It's internships in the Randolph Shepherd Vending Program. Because I was actually pleased to hear that you have a wait list.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way it is in most other states. Vendors are aging. Current company excluded, of course. And a lot of retirements are starting to happen. And those positions have to be filled. There needs to be growth in that program. And I think some creative looking at internships for that program across the country is a terrific idea. Last week when we were on Capitol Hill, one of the pieces of legislation we talked about was a bill that is being called the TEACH Act. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I'm going to remember, technology and education and blank blank, because I'm going to remember the CH stands for college and higher education, maybe, but.
Accessibility.
So what the TEACH Act is accessibility legislation for post-secondary students, getting access to course materials in formats that are usable by students who are blind or visually impaired, and also guaranteeing that access to the curriculum is accessible. So we didn't have a sponsor for that on the Senate side until Wednesday this week. We got an announcement that Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, a Democrat, and Senator Orrin Hatch, from a Republican from Utah, will be working together to introduce the TEACH Act in the Senate, which is great news. ACB's two legislative priorities this year are H.R. 3749, which is a low vision device bill. It calls upon Medicare, Medicaid, or the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services to establish a demonstration project for the acquisition of low vision devices for people who are on Medicare and Medicaid. As you may know, Medicaid does not cover anything that has a lens in it, so no kind of CCTVs or video magnifiers or more handheld magnifiers that are above $500 can be covered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So with what we all know is coming, I heard it referred to as the silver tsunami, meaning that there's lots of baby boomers who are aging and they're going to be needing services. And the acquisition of low vision devices for those individuals can amount to savings of thousands of dollars. It can make it possible for someone to remain independent in their home rather than being placed in a nursing or care facility. So we believe in this bill. Obviously, it has financial ramifications, but the ramifications for not doing this bill will be much more costly in the future if we don't provide the independence that people need to live independently in their homes as they age. The other legislative priority for ACB is H.R. 4040, which is the Alice Coxwell and Ann Sullivan Macy Act. And this relates to education for children who are blind or visually impaired. So, I think you all know who Ann Sullivan Macy is, but you probably don't know who Alice Coxwell is. And why is she in our bill? So, there's actually two parts to H.R. 4040. And I told Eric I was really happy that the bill got a number like 4040 because I could actually remember it. It took me a month to remember the other bill in the right order. I kept mixing up all the numbers. So 4040 I can do. Alice Coxwell was the first individual to be educated who was deaf. And the similarities in the legislation, there's part one and part two. The Ann Sullivan Macy Act was crafted first, and the deaf community read it and they said, you know, the issues are exactly the same for our students who are deaf and hard of hearing, as far as access to information and the kinds of issues that students face in mainstream settings. So they recrafted the Ann Sullivan Macy Act sections and made it applicable to students who are deaf and hard of hearing. So Eric said, well, I think Ann Sullivan Macy should have come first. And I said, well, Eric, a good librarian will tell you that Alice Coxwell comes before Ann Sullivan Macy. So that's why they're in the order they're in. So he thought that was a good explanation, even though he wasn't happy with it. So. Another issue that ACB is starting to pursue, and this is a personal priority of mine, based on a resolution from 2012, I think it was, is the issue of Braille labeling on consumer products and grocery items and over-the-counter pharmaceutical products, not prescription medications. If any of you have ever had an opportunity to travel in Europe, you probably will have noticed that most pharmacy items and most grocery items have Braille on the packaging. There's a mandate in the EU, the European Union, that requires countries to provide a Braille label. And this is not just something you stick on, like we're used to doing. When we want to label something, we write a label and stick it on. This is right on packaging. So, you know, your Cheerios and your Wheaties and your brown sugar and all those things say Wheaties, Cheerios, brown sugar.
In Braille.
Toothpaste, Band-Aids, things like that have Braille on them. So that's been a requirement in Europe for almost 5 years. Manufacturers of packaging in Europe just do it. They put the Braille on the box, right on the cardboard box. It's part of the manufacturing process. They don't say, oh, we can't do it. We don't know how to do it. So ACB, pursuant to our resolution, is pursuing what the steps and what the process needs to be in the United States to make this happen here. So the industry, the packaging industry in the United States, they're already ready. They've adopted standards for putting Braille into packaging, in the cardboard or labels, things like that. They just say nobody asks for it. So I want to see that changed. I want to start getting product manufacturers to ask for Braille on the carton. There's no better way to make Braille relevant in our world than to put it on every item that you could buy in the grocery store, providing you with independence when you get home, helping you when you're shopping, and really, really providing a solid grounding for why Braille is relevant in our world. So I'm very excited about this initiative.
Yeah.
For the past several years, one of my responsibilities with ACB was to chair the audio description project. We have Joel Snyder, who's a contractor with ACB, who runs the audio description project. We have a fabulous website for information about audio description in all of its forms, whether you're talking about live description for theater, movies, audio description on DVDs, or television. And you could go to acb.org/ADP for audio description project. And you will find it's probably the world's leading authoritative website to go to find information. So our webmaster, Fred Brack, does a terrific job, and it really is the go-to place if you want to know anything about audio description. So last time I was visiting with you, which was about 3 years ago, we talked a lot about the CVAA, the 21st Century Communication and Video Accessibility Act, and what was that going to do for us? Well, we're finally to the point that we're starting to see some of the things that that legislation was going to do for us. The first thing we saw was happened in July of 2012, and that was the mandate for audio description for television. So that means that 4 hours a week on the major networks have to have, and the five major cable providers have to have programming with audio description. So what we found, that the networks are doing that, there's issues with some of the affiliates not passing through the description. We've had to work through some of those and continue to do that. And we need advocates in every community to work with their television's affiliates to make sure that they can pass through the description. Just because a community isn't in the top 25 major market areas, doesn't mean that you shouldn't have access to description if the technology is there to pass. pass it through. So what we found is really the problem is that it isn't easy to get to the, where the description is on television. It's in the same place where you might hear Spanish language translation when you go into your menus. But who can go into the menus? Because they're not accessible. So starting next year, those menus, television manufacturers, DVD player manufacturers, will have to provide an accessibility to the menu system on their device through speech. They will also have to provide a remote control for a television set that will have a separate button on it to turn on and off audio description. So we won't have to go into the menu anymore and try to figure out where it is. Or in my case, I tell Brian, don't touch the audio description, we'll just leave it on all the time. So what happened is back in February, there was this important football game called the Super Bowl. And we had the audio description on, and he put the TV on to watch the Super Bowl, and it was going, puto! It was in Spanish. So he wasn't really happy that the Super Bowl was in Spanish, and we couldn't figure out how to change it back. So he went really fast and found the radio. So. So eventually next year we're going to start seeing manufacturers producing television equipment that will have accessibility in the menu system. So if you were thinking about buying a television set,
hold on.
Save your pennies a little longer because you might want to get one next year that has accessibility. Panasonic and Samsung have really been the industry leaders, and they will be ready next year when the mandate goes into effect to provide, to sell the televisions with accessibility.
Wow, nice.
So, another issue around CBAA that is starting to come together is emergency notifications.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you're all wondering when you watch television and you hear those three beeps. You hear three tones. That's right. Those tones are currently what is required to notify us that there is an emergency situation. Now, that's all right now that they have to do. Because, of course, the information about the emergency is skimming across the screen on the television and people can read it. So the mandate right now is we need to alert you that there is an emergency. But you're going to have to go somewhere else to find out what the emergency
is.
Because the TV industry doesn't know how to make that verbal. Well, they only have one more year to figure out what they're going to do. Because in 2015, the mandate will be they have to provide verbal information when those three beeps go off. They have to verbalize what's happening, what's being scanned across the screen, whether they use artificial speech, whether they use a human being, it doesn't matter what they do, they're going to have to do it next year. So we will have access to emergency information that we haven't had before. And that's because of CBAA. So, structured negotiations. I want to tell you a little bit about some of the ones that have come up in the last year or so. So structured negotiation is a process that ACB tends to use when we have an issue that we want to resolve. We prefer not to go to court. We'd rather sit down in a collaborative way with attorneys and representatives from the other side and say, why don't we, instead of going to court and spending a lot of money, sit down collaboratively and work out the solution together. So within the next couple weeks, I can't disclose right now, but within a couple weeks, you're going to be hearing two important settlement announcements about accessibility for medical information and for pharmacy information that we're just about to settle with. I've talked before about accessible credit reporting. That's something ACB did to get access to your annual credit report that's free of charge. I have to tell you that I wrote a whole piece about identity theft for the Brown Forum. You're going to see it in this month's issue. I told Philo, after I wrote it, 2 days later, my card got hacked. So this was a good thing I knew what to do. So my piece is all about using the resources that are out there to help you be sure that your financial identity is safe. So ACB does have resources, the credit report, you should check it. You never know what's going on. So that's important. You may also have heard that the United States is finally going to be going to a whole new credit card processing system. Mm-hmm. We've had the credit cards with the magnetic strips forever. And if you ever travel outside the country, you probably notice that they seem to have a different kind of processing. Your waiter comes to the table and he processes your card right there and everything's quick. Mm. And they have a different secure system, not like our magnetic PIN numbers that's out of date. And you can definitely tell it's out of date with all the data breaches that we're having from major companies. So we'll be going to a new system that will require new hardware, point-of-sale devices, basically. Mm-hmm. And our research seems to show that those point-of-sale devices do have separate and distinct buttons on them, keys, so that you can enter in your security code for your card without assistance. And that is critical, in my view, to making sure that this process and this rollover to the new credit card system works for everyone. So, also, this is one of my favorite supplements because I'm a big Red Sox fan. You never would have known it, right? Philo is giving me a hard time. He told me that the Red Sox were just about ready, just about good enough to win. So I did remind him 2004, 2007, 2013, worst to first. So that was quite a year.
Also 1903.
Well, 1918, yeah. Mr. History Professor has to rub it in.
You were the only one to hear the watch.
So Major League Baseball, ACB did a settlement agreement with Major League Baseball
MLB.
To make its website accessible, its ticketing accessible, and probably the best thing of all is to make their services like At Bat, which is on your iDevice, the radio service accessible so that we can have access to baseball anytime, anywhere during the season. So it's a great program, and I don't even share it with Brian anymore. I have my own subscription, so when I'm out of town, I can listen. When he's out of town, he can listen. So another one of our settlements was with Weight Watchers last year. All of us could probably afford to be members of Weight Watchers, but now, if you are, you'll have access to not just their information that they share during their meetings, but also to their websites and their apps, so you can do your own tracking independently. It's all been made accessible. One of the issues that ACB worked really hard on last year and has worked on for the last 5 years relates to the Treaty for the Visually Impaired, which is an international treaty about copyright and the ability to share copyrighted materials. I especially want to thank the Hawaii Association for the Blind because your generosity made it possible for us to send Melanie Brunson to all of the meetings. Most of them took place in Geneva, Switzerland. But last June, the last and final meeting took place in Marrakesh, Morocco, where the treaty document was finalized and the United States signed the treaty on October 2nd. We didn't hear a whole lot about them signing the treaty because something was happening then with the government. There was a shutdown. So the only people that knew that the treaty was being signed were the delegates to the treaty signing ceremony in Switzerland, because everybody else back home at the office was furloughed for the shutdown. So there was no big hoop-de-doo or hoopla about the U.S. signing the treaty. But signing the treaty doesn't mean that we're done, because 20 countries have to sign it And then it has to go to the United States Senate for ratification. So it doesn't mean anything until it's ratified by the Senate. And we've made a strategic decision at this point. There's another treaty that's sitting in the Senate waiting for some attention, and things are not going so well for that treaty. That's the Convention for the Rights of People with Disabilities, an international disability rights treaty based on the Americans with Disabilities Act. So there's been a lot of pushback on CRPD because a lot of senators don't like UN-related issues. Some of them say, why should we sign this treaty if it's based on the Americans with Disabilities Act? Aren't we already there? Why do we have to sign another treaty? So we're hoping that CRPD will get ratified by the Senate. I think it's a huge statement about the fact that people with disabilities and their rights should be highlighted in a treaty, that all governments should support that treaty. And it makes a big statement if the United States doesn't support that treaty to hundreds of other countries. Right now, things are not looking so well for CRPD. So the people working, advocating for it in Washington have stepped back a little bit, and they're taking a little bit of a look at the strategy for how do we get CRPD passed. Once something happens one way or the other, then it will be time for the Treaty for the Visually Impaired and the copyright issue. I honestly believe that that treaty will be much easier to sell to the United States Senate than CRPD has been, because it's about access to reading.
Right.
It's got a tangible outcome, where CRPD is a big document that talks about broad concepts like rights and access and things like that, which are, of course, important, but they're not as tangible, and that's been part of the problem. So we'll keep you posted on where that treaty for the visually impaired will go. But again, thank you to the Hawaiian Association for your support on that issue. We couldn't have been there as ACB without it. Technology, I mentioned at the beginning that Eric is doing a lot of work with technology companies. ACB has developed some very, very solid working relationships with companies like Microsoft, Windows 8, some access to the phones that Microsoft is selling out there, or that other vendors are using their platform are selling. We need accessibility to those phones. It's great that Apple sells a product that works right out of the box with speech, mm-hmm. but there should be other options, because those other options are less expensive. Not everybody can afford an iPhone. So Google, we've been working with Google. Google is one of the prime owners of services called the CAPTCHA. Mm-hmm. CAPTCHA is that little nasty thing that comes up on your computer and asks you to type in an ID number that you see on the screen. Uh-huh. Sometimes it asks you can listen to the CAPTCHA, and if any of you can figure out what they're saying in those audio captions, you're better than me. I tried to log into the hotel system this morning, and the last thing, I was just ready, and it said, enter in the numbers you see above. So they have an inaccessible CAPTCHA, and I couldn't get in. So this afternoon, I'm going to make somebody from the front desk come up and enter the CAPTCHA into my computer so I can get online. But CAPTCHA is a big problem, and yeah. we're working hard to try to deal with it and to make companies provide an option that actually can work for us. Giving us an audio CAPTCHA that says
and the noise.
My idea of a good time. And that, you know, they're horrible. They're really, really bad. So you know, we all understand the issues surrounding security and that it's necessary, but it has to be usable as well. So I'm going to stop there and give you all an opportunity to ask me a few questions. And I know you're getting hungry, and I don't want to stand between you and your lunch. So if anybody has any questions.
I do have a question.
Okay.
A year and a half ago, in 2012, one resolution related to Sirius and XM radio past, I talked to Brian and he indicated they're having difficulty creating some communication there. Do you know anything more about it?
I don't know anything else about that beyond what you just stated. I do know that we have had a very tough time reaching out since their merger, and so I'll double check and see what's going on with that and try to give you an update.
I'd like to know about the convention coming up.
The convention coming up. Well, get your wallet ready. It's in Las Vegas. It's July 11th through the 19th. It's that whole week, Friday to Friday. It's a little bit later this year, so it's still going to be hot. But it's going to be a great convention. The hotel's been remodeled. It's really nice. Lots of opportunities for informative sessions, just gambling. But there's a lot of activities, a lot of good tours as well. So we're planning the programming right now for the convention. I think you're going to be really pleased with some of the issues that we'll be having on the agenda. Other questions?
When's the registration
going to
start?
The registration, that usually starts around May 1st. And it's a lot closer for you all to go to Las Vegas than some other place like Columbus, Ohio or something. So this is a good year to plan on attending. There's a lot to do.